Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the Epistle of James, the second chapter. James chapter 2. Let us first sing from Psalter 65, 1 through 4. Grace and truth shall mark the way where the Lord his own will lead. If his word they still obey, and his testimonies heed. 1 through 4 of Psalter 65.
Thank you. Before we read out of God's holy word, we wish to read to you the 12 articles of our undoubted Catholic Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We wish to read from the book of James, thereof the second chapter. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring, in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool, are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, Do not commit adultery, said also, Do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath shown no mercy. And mercy rejoiceth against judgment. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith, and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked, and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise, also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we have heard out of thy word, ye believe that there is one God. The devils also believe and tremble. And then we may ask ourselves whether that we have believed even as the devils. For we do not tremble. Then we believe with our minds, but we do not believe even so far, and that our bodies may be affected, that our lives may be affected, that we may turn with our feet and with our hands. O Lord, begin thou in our hearts, for therein only is there hope for us and for our children. Being dead in sins and in trespasses, and not able to bring forth one good work. Weak through the flesh, so that thy people desire to see thy power and thy glory, so that as they have seen thee in the sanctuary. And thou hast shown it unto thy servant, that he may see in thy sanctuary thy power. And thou hast revealed it unto him in that place wherein thou showest thyself and openest thy holy word. And then it must not be only one time, but then he desired to see it again. It must be power then for the faint. Lord, they cannot bring forth, and they need to be forgiven. And thou sayest, the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. That also may be a music in our ears, that our heart may learn to leap for joy, that we may see something of that suitability in thee, wherein from our side it is so impossible. Being from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. That thou may open also thy word in this afternoon hour. For it is thy holy law. And we have heard that he who is guilty in one point, he is guilty of all. Oh, that thou may so convict us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, that we may be brought to the end of the law, and that we may come to see him who has fulfilled it, and that we may rejoice therein, beginning here below and by moments, and perfected in eternity. Lord, remember us then in this afternoon hour, that thy spirit may not be absent from us. Remember those who cannot come up with us, young or old, and there are those who suffer, those who have pain. There are those who have become old. There are all those that mourn. There are those that need the physician. Wilt thou remember each one in all their affliction? Wilt thou supply for widows, widowers, and orphans? Remember those that are in the nursing home, day by day, cared for by others. Wilt thou thyself visit them from above when they are lonely? Supply for our children and our youth. Grant them in the days of their youth to remember their Creator. And wilt thou keep them on every side from all the devices that are laid against them? For there is a warfare, and that the prince of darkness is warring against thy church, and then in a special way against the youth of the congregation. We can see something of his devices, and they take so fast hold of our evil and natural hearts. Oh, that thou may grant true conversion unto our children and unto our youth. Bless the labors of our school, the teachers, the administrators, and the school board members, and all those that labor for the sake of our children. Wilt thou bless the instruction that may take place there in our school, and that there may be those with hearts that tenderly fear thy name, that may be evident in their walk and in their talk, in their conversation, that may stand before our children, that they may be left with impressions in the days of their youth, which will not be forgotten all their life. That thy word which is brought there also may be given free course, and that the instructors may be given in all simplicity and in all humility to depend upon thee day by day. Wilt thou look upon all those that go to universities and are instructed in other places, even in their own homes? Wilt thou also bless them? Wilt thou also keep them and cause that those doctrines which they have been instructed in the days of their youth may not be forgotten when they go out in the midst of this world? That they may be kept from a false shame, that they may be given not that boldness that lies in the heart of a wicked man, but that they may receive that holy boldness that is contained in the fear of thee. Wilt thou remember all those who bring thy word over the length and the breadth of this world? And wilt thou increase their number? And wilt thou increase also the knowledge and the experience of the heart, that they may be enabled to bring forth new and old things out of thy law, that thy church may be built and that thy people may be instructed? Do look upon our government, in all the levels in this country, oh, that thou thyself may bring thy word again into the foreground. For we make ourselves ripe for thy judgments, and then it will be no wonder that our freedom and our liberty would be taken away from us. Oh, give us to storm thy throne of grace for the seriousness of the times in which we are living, that we may be also given to hasten for the sake of our life. For thou didst have to take a Lot by the hand, because he tarried. O Lord, thou knowest our tarrying, and then it is for this and that in this world. And then we do not take seriously the warnings that thou comest to us with. O that thou thyself may take hold of our hand, that thou may set us outside of the city. O that thou may grant unto us that warning that shall enter into the inmost recesses of our hearts. Flee for your life. Stay not thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest ye be consumed. O that thou may grant unto young and old together that need to be felt, that we may learn to warn one another also. Take away our slothfulness in all things. Remember thou those who have no more desire to come under thy word of truth, who are brought up under it. O thou knowest also their place this day. And when fathers and mothers are weeping, and that thou may put their tears into thy bottle. And could it please thee to hear in thy own time, and in thy own way to bring prodigal sons and daughters once again under thy word of truth in thy sanctuary. Do remember all those that are in the prisons, innocent or guilty. Wilt thou supply for all judges who sit on the judgment seats? Wilt thou remember all those that have special needs not known unto us? Those that are lonely and those that feel that they have no helper. Oh, that they may be given a place to cry unto thee, and that they may experience that the God that thou art God and that thou livest. Wilt thou look upon those that are persecuted for the sake of thy name? Then we do not know what it is, but they must experience that which is against their flesh. O Lord, wilt thou uphold them, and wilt thou remember them in all their temptations and in all their afflictions, when they also will receive that voice in their own hearts, that will say to leave it all and take that easy way, to go around about, instead of over the mountains and down into the valleys, or to leave that straight and narrow pathway that leadeth unto life. Wilt thou teach them, but wilt thou also teach us and our children? Oh, that we may not succumb to all the devices of Satan to draw us into this world, and because many are his devices, and that road upon which we are traveling by nature that is so very wide and so very broad, and so that a man is able to take in everything in this world, and then expecting in the end, and that he may receive a blessing for his soul. But how deceived then is our soul, and how disappointed we shall be in that day of days when that door that will be shut against us, and when we shall begin to stand without and say, Lord, Lord, open unto us, and when we shall hear, depart from me, I never knew you. Oh, that our eyes may be opened, and that our ears may be unstopped, that our hearts may be broken, and that we may learn to weep, and that we may turn again from our sin. Oh, Lord, it is work that belongs to thee this day, for it pertaineth unto thee. to stop us upon our way. Oh, may it be even in this afternoon that there has come one up that must hear the thundering of thy law, and that must receive an arrow into his heart, the arrow of conviction, of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Thou art able to do it. Help us then to bring thy word. Grant us a little freedom, a little liberty, and show thyself to be in the midst of us, and that thou hast indeed put thy word in our mouth. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 100. All stanzas, forever trusting in the Lord. Take heed to do His will. So shalt thou dwell within the land. So shalt thou dwell within the land. And He thy needs shall fill. The last collection today is for the North American General Mission. 100 all stanzas. congregation, King David was a man of very great wealth, of very great substance, and of very great honor. But we read that Solomon, his son, has written before honor is humility. And this also David had to experience in his life. Because two times, and then we read that David, he had to beg. One time he was begging from Ahimelech the priest. And another time we read that he has to beg from a churl that was from Nabal. Even from that wicked man. And that man, though he lived in very great prosperity, he had no desire to give the least portion of it unto the poor. But the Lord had seen it. And the Lord has taken up the cause of the poor. We wish, with the Lord's help in this afternoon, to also consider something of this work of the Lord. Out of the 8th commandment, thou shalt not steal. We can find it explained in Lord's Day 42. Lord's Day 42, questions 110 and 111. Question 110. What doth God forbid in the 8th commandment? Answer. God forbids not only those thefts and robberies which are punishable by the magistrate, but he comprehends under the name of theft all wicked tricks and devices whereby we design to appropriate to ourselves the goods which belong to our neighbor, whether it be by force or under the appearance of right, as by unjust weight, sales, measures, fraudulent merchandise, false coins, usury, or by any other way forbidden by God. As also all covetousness, all abuse and waste of his gifts. Question 110. But what doth God require in this commandment? Answer, that I promote the advantage of my neighbor in every instance I can or may, and deal with him as I desire to be dealt with by others. Further also, that I faithfully labor so that I may be able to relieve the needy. So far, our Lord's Day, concerning the command which concerns the protection of property. First, property which is called my own. Second, the property of my neighbor. And third, the property belonging unto the poor. Thus, the command concerning the protection of property, first, property called my own, second, the property of my neighbor, and third, the property belonging unto the poor. We say in our first thought, the property called my own. Why? Why called my own? Because the Lord, he says that the cattle on 1,000 hills are his. Thus, farmers, those cattle that are upon your hills. They are not your cattle. And all the rest of us, that substance of ours, so-called ours, and that is belonging unto the Lord, then that is substance that is only lent unto us by the Lord, and the Lord permits us for a little time while we are in this world to have the use of it, and that we may, in a sense, call it, since it is from Him, our own. To one, the Lord is lending much. To another, the Lord is lending little. There are some that believe that that should all be the same, that everyone should have the same amount, that we should live as those who live in a community. That is the basis for the communism of the Amish, of the Hutterites, that they say that that New Testament church, you can read that in Acts 4, that they sold all their possessions, they sold all their goods, neither did anyone call anything his own, but they have distributed to every man according as he had need. And that is true. However, we find that this, what they had done, was not a thing which was commanded. That was a thing that has taken place in that very special time, as there were those who were very poor, and as the unction of the Spirit that was poured out in a very special way. But we find that this, what they have done, was voluntary. Thus, the other churches, we do not find that this community of goods has existed among them. And we read that when Ananias and Sapphira have brought their gift, that the Apostle Peter, he spoke about that gift, and he said, whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Thus, then there was no requirement of those churches to have community of goods. But everything that was given only in a voluntary way. And we can read how that the apostles, they have recommended the churches that they are giving in a liberal way when they would send their gifts unto the poor. Thus, the property that we may have in this life, that is property that is lent unto each one. One is given more, one is given less. That is the way of the Lord, and that is but for a short time. We do not know how long we will have it, because riches, they make themselves wings, and they fly away. And certainly upon our death, and then our houses, we read, they will be given to another, that they may use them for their life. But that is property, when that is given unto us from the Lord, that we can read in God's Word that the Lord is requiring us to take care of that property. Else, then He says, that is wasteful. So we can read about the sin of sloth, Solomon says, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns. And nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction, yet a little slumber, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Why is sloth sinful? It is sinful because it is, in the first place, a despising of those gifts that the Lord has given unto us. Then we can throw them away, and our judgment that is poverty. And so and the Lord Jesus is speaking also about the talents that he has given to the one and to the other young people. Then each one that is given certain talents from the Lord, then it is only right that you are also using those talents that you are receiving from the Lord. What are you doing? In the days of your youth, do you spend that in such a way as so that there is a waste of those talents which the Lord is giving to you? Or do you look when you are being instructed in school or in university and that you may be seeking to use those talents in the way that the Lord Himself is directing? Slothfulness, that is receiving the punishment of the Lord. In the second place, that is a sinful thing because not everything that we are given that is for ourselves. We hope to hear that. Some of that is also given to be distributed, that is for the sake of the poor. We can read in God's word that he that has stolen should steal no more, that he should labor with his hands the thing that is good. Why? That he may be able to give to him that is needy. Thus, the wasting of our gifts, the wasting of our goods, is also the wasting of those goods which belong not to us, but they belong to our neighbor from the Lord. The prodigal son, we can read, he has spent his living in a riotous way, that is, that he has for the sake of entertainment, that he has for the sake of the enjoyment in this world, he has squandered all that inheritance which was so carefully laid up for him from his father. And so a man, when he is doing so with the gifts that he is given from the Lord, and then he is wasting all that inheritance that is given unto him from the Lord himself. Thus, how much waste is there in lavish spending in this world? That is, that man may walk in the way of this world in a way of worldly pride, in the way of the satisfaction of all of the lusts that are living within his flesh. And how much waste is there when a man is not seeking to use those talents which the Lord has given to him, but is lazy and careless. We can read in the Word of God that it is possible even to steal from ourselves. Say, how can a man steal from himself? He can steal from himself when he is refusing to himself those lawful comforts in an unnecessary way. Solomon, he says, there is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men, a man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanted nothing for his soul of all that he desireth, yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity and an evil disease. Where does that come from? And that he has not power to eat it. Well, that is coming out of the covetousness of his heart. And that he is sitting in the cold because he cannot bear that his bank account that will not increase. It is congregation wisdom to save for a rainy day. But it is sin when we are full of unbelief and so hoarding those things which the Lord has given unto us for our life, for our needs, and for our comforts. Because it is an unbelieving over-anxiety for all the cares that are in this life. As if that we are able to save up those temporal goods and that they will be able to go with us out of this life. But that is impossible because we leave that all behind. You say, is it lawful for a man then to increase his own estate? And how much, how far may a man go in such an increase? That is actually a difficult question. And we can read in the Word of God indeed that this is a lawful thing. That is clear from Scripture, that is clear even from nature. There came a time that Jacob, when he lived with Laban, and that he said that since I have come to you, the Lord has blessed you. But he says, when now shall I provide for my own house? Thus it is necessary for a man that he is providing for his own house. And then to increase his estate that is only natural. But what are those principles by which we must be guided in this desire for increase? Then we have always to look at our purpose. Because we are required by the Lord to serve the Lord with our substance. That is, that we do it for Him, that we do it for the poverty and the need also of our neighbor. Thus we may ask ourselves, when we desire to work harder, when we desire that our estate may be increased, and whether we have that desire with it, that we may serve the Lord with that substance. Naturally, we are called to provide for our children, to drink waters out of our own cistern, and running waters out of our own well. Thus we may provide for our necessities, and we may provide even for our conveniences, when it is under the rule of moderation, when it is not with a desire for pride. Agur says, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee, or lest I be poor and steal, and take the name of my God in vain. What did the Lord Jesus say to his disciples? What did he teach them to pray? He taught them to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Is it then lawful for us that we are seeking something that we are not called to pray for. When we seek young people, the means whereby that we may increase ourselves in this world, provide in this world, and then we must seek always those means which are lawful. Thus, there are occupations in this world that we do not belong in. There are occupations which we must avoid. There are those that bring us into transgression with His law, and that we have to labor on the day of the Lord. There are those that bring others also into transgressors. It would not be right for you, young people, when you would become a bartender, when you know what the devil is doing, and when he is seeking with that wine to destroy men. Our labor, that must be an honest labor. That must be labor wherein we don't have to be shifting always this way and that way. We may ask ourselves, does our labor in this world entangle us in the world? Because the apostle says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the things of this life. And so that we can be so entangled with all the labors of our hands that we have no more time to seek the Lord and to spend that necessary time with our family. So the apostle, he says, all things are lawful for me, but he says, all things are not expedient. Thus, our first thought, that is property which is called our own. Our second thought, that is the property of my neighbor and our fathers. And they speak here about robberies and thefts, but they also speak about wicked tricks and devices whereby we design to appropriate to ourselves the goods which belong to our neighbor. A wicked trick. Solomon, he says, God hath made man upright, but man has sought out many inventions. That is our wicked heart. Wicked tricks and devices. Our fathers, they say that we must promote the advantage of our neighbor in every instance that we can or may, and deal with him as we desire to be dealt with. Thus it is possible that we abhor robbery. It is possible that we abhor an outright theft. But at the same time, that there is a wicked trick in our heart. That there is a wicked device in our heart. Did you ever take advantage of the mistake of your neighbor? That you have not told him that he had made a mistake? Or did you ever take advantage of his ignorance in your bargain? Maybe that we have even pretended ourselves that we were ignorant. Or it can be that a man, when he sees another person's need, that he says, well, actually that price, that is higher. Because he sees that that man, he is not able to do without it. And so he forces that man to unreasonable terms. Amos speaks about buying the poor for silver, for a pair of shoes. That is, to oppress those that are poor. It is possible, Solomon says, that we are crying up our own wares, so that we say that actually they are worth more than they actually are. It is not, saith the buyer. But when he goes his way, then he boasteth. So the buyer, he says, it is not worth anything. It is worth less. And then he says to his friend, oh, I have gotten that for such a good price. But it is one of those wicked tricks. It is one of those wicked devices that is not looking, as our fathers say, for the good of our neighbor, but that is in a deceitful way looking for the good only of ourselves. Maybe there was a time that we have had a contract, that we have said, these now are the words of that contract. And you must stay very, very close to these words, although we know in our heart and that the meaning of the contract, the general meaning of the contract, that is not according to the strictness of those words that are written in it. And so there is another wicked trick. There is another wicked device that is living in our heart. Thou shalt not steal. Do we pay, congregation, our debts? And when do we pay them? Do we pay them on time or do we pay them late? And are we trying in a roundabout way that we may indirectly reduce the amount that we are going to pay? Do we force our neighbor to sue us at the law in order that he may receive from us his just payment? Strive not with a man without cause when he has done thee no harm. You work, young people. It could be that you are given a special place. It could be that you are given a special trust, and that your employer, he says, you may have authority over these funds, and when you need something, then you may purchase it. But how do you deal with your employer's money? Do you use that money just as if that money was your own? Or do you much more easily spend the money of your employer? When we try to prejudice someone, our neighbor, to his hurt, to our advantage, at his ignorance, then we steal from our neighbor. When a judge, when a policeman, when a man in authority is willing to take a bribe, then he steals from his neighbor. How is it also, young people, we speak about money, but sometimes we say time is money. How is it with the time of your employer? Are you slothful when you are laboring for your employer? Are you negligent in his service? And then not only in his service, but how is it with the time of our neighbor? Are we wasting the time of our neighbors when he could be busy with things which would be much more to profit? Do we borrow money with no idea, maybe, how we are ever going to pay it back? Or when we have borrowed something and then we have destroyed it, or when we have lost it, then do we make it good? Thou shalt not steal. We read in God's word, thou shalt not see thy brother's ox or sheep go astray and hide thyself from them. Thou shalt in other any case bring them again to thy neighbor. Thus, to allow the property of my neighbor under my eyes to be lost. Or, children, then we would find something that doesn't belong to us. Then what do we do with it? Do we then seek to know where the owner is? Or do we just keep it now for ourselves? Maybe, young people, you have once bought something that you knew or had quite a good idea that it was stolen, and you have turned your eyes away, and you have bought it anyway, or that you have accepted an inheritance that you know that was actually unlawfully gotten. Thus you saw a thief, and you consented with him. Then you are also that same thief. It is possible that a man receives wages for services that actually he is not capable of performing. He is not trained to perform. He makes himself a lawyer. He makes himself a counselor. And then he seeks to obtain those wages for professional services that do not belong to him. Do you know what the Lord called an unsent minister? He called them thieves and robbers. And when we sell a service which is supposed to be free, as if a minister would give advice and receive payment for it, and then we do what is so abhorred by us in the Roman Catholic Church, when they have received indulgences for so many years. And what a hurt that was to the souls of men when the Lord, he proclaims that his salvation, and that is so free and sovereign, without money and without price. Is it not right that our fathers, they speak about wicked tricks and devices? What is more wicked than a deceit that is under the color of the truth? And yet it is a seed that is living in all our hearts. And that is why Sabbath after Sabbath, the Lord will have declared to us, thou shalt not steal, because the Lord is protecting that property that is something. Then his eyes are not only upon our souls, no, but his eyes are on everything in this world. And then he is protecting our property. He is protecting our neighbor's property. But now in a very special way, he is also protecting the property which he declares to belong to the poor. But we want to consider that after we sing from Psalter 138, stanzas 2 and 3. Ye have consented with the thief. Ye have partaken with the vile. Your mouths do to evil words ye give. Your tongues proclaim deceit and guile. Ye glory in your brother's shame. Your mother's son do ye defame. 2 and 3 of Psalter 138. further also, that I faithfully labor so that I may be able to relieve the needy. This is, congregation, one of the very reasons that we are called to labor. That is, not all for ourselves, but the Lord says that the poor, they shall never cease out of the land. Thus we are called also to labor for the sake of the poor. In our wretched nature, it is so much easier for us to spend upon ourselves than it is to give the smallest bit to someone else. But that is not just a voluntary thing. No, that is what is commanded. It is commanded by whom? It is commanded by the Lord. The Lord who has given to us everything. And whose is actually all our own. Thus he has lent it unto us also for that purpose of distribution. The Lord, in a very special way in his word, shows himself to be he that will care for the poor. We can read in Deuteronomy 15, 7 through 11. If there be any among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in thy land which the Lord God hath given thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother, but thou shalt open thine hand wide to him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. Beware that there be not a thought in thine heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him naught, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee. Thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God will bless thee in all thy works, and in all that thou puttest thine hand unto. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor, and to thy needy in the land. Paul writes two full chapters to the Corinthians just about this one duty. Thus, when we refuse, then we rob the poor. But we rob the poor from what is theirs. Say, it is mine. No. We rob the poor from what is theirs from the Lord. That is the portion that the Lord has given unto me, that I may be able to distribute it unto them. And when I withhold it from them, then we may be sure that the Lord sees it, because he is the guardian of the poor. And we read that the Lord, he is going to remember this also in that day of judgment, when that door of heaven will be shut, and when men are crying, Lord, Lord, open unto us, then the Lord says that I was naked, and you clothed me not. I was sick and in prison, and ye visited me not, in that ye have not done it unto one of the least of these. Thus, there is a very special offense when we are withholding what the Lord has given unto us for the poor. And on the other hand, the Lord is speaking very highly in the Scriptures as the mark of the righteous when there is a giving unto the poor. The righteous considereth the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know it. But whoso hath this world's goods and seeth his brother in need, and shuts up his bowels of compassion to him, how dwells, asked John, the love of God in him? Every giving that is not almsgiving, if we expect to receive something back, that is not almsgiving, that is just lending, or it is a very deceitful vainglory. Ananias and Sapphira gave in a deceitful way, and the Lord slew them. How much must we give? It is interesting to read what James Durham writes about this. He says, then it depends. It depends upon the need. He says there are poor persons in general. And when there are poor in general, then we may give to them out of our abundance. But then he speaks about a need which is a pinching need. And he says when there is a pinching need, then we give not out of our abundance, but then we must be ready also to deny ourselves. Then he speaks about a need which is extreme. And he says when we have an extreme need, then we must be ready to mortgage our home and divide the substance. Thus, it depends on the need. Every object is not, however, an object of poverty. Must we give to a man that is slothful? No. Paul says that if a man will not work, neither may he eat. That is not when they cannot work. It is when they will not work. Thus, the lazy, the idle. There are also those who may have very wealthy relatives, may have a very wealthy family, and they are not those, we read in God's Word, which ought to be a burden unto the church. Because the Lord, he says, that if any provide not for his own, especially they of his own household, that they have broken the faith and that they are worse than an infidel. Almsgiving, is that just for the rich? No, that is for everyone, of course. It can be that we have nothing. Then the Lord knows that we are also able to give nothing. But most have something. And when we have just a little, then we have that example in God's Word of that widow who has given all her living, even her last two mites. We may also ask how. We have just read out of God's Word, your heart that shall not be grieved. That is, that the Lord says we must do this in a cheerful way. We must do this in a liberal way. we must do this in a seasonable way, that we do not say to our brother, go away and come again, and tomorrow I will give to you when you have it by you. Indeed, we must use discretion. The deacons, they are commanded that they are giving to those who are widows indeed. But then our almsgiving, that must also be with great compassion. It must be with great feeling that those who are poor, they are not ashamed. We can read of Boaz that he said to his servants, just leave some fall on purpose for them. Is that not the way? And that the Lord is dealing with his own children. And then the Lord says in humility, not to let our right hand know what our left hand is doing, but to do this in secret. Because he says to his church, and then your Father which seeth in secret, he shall reward you openly. Congregation, how is it? Are we also a thief? We are not thieves because we steal. No, actually, we steal because we are thieves. We steal because thievery, wicked devices and tricks, they are living in our hearts. Is that not a wonder that the Lord said to that thief, hanging next to him, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise? Or in him alone is there hope for a thief? Are there thieves that have ever seen something of a suitability in him? Do you know what we read of him? We read of him, then I restored that which I took not away. Oh, when there may be a thief in our midst that may despair of ever restoring everything to man and to the Lord, may the Lord open his eyes to see him who has restored what he has not taken away. Then they may have hope. Amen. O Lord, look on us in mercy. Thou knowest our hearts. They are wicked hearts. They are not hearts that bow under thee. They are hearts that would have everything for ourselves. Oh, forgive thou all our iniquities. And wilt thou open unto us our sin. Cause it to pain us, that we may feel something of who and what we are. And that it may be for our true godly sorrow. And that there may also come a need for thee as that heavenly physician. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Be with us in the week to come. We lay before thee once again the little child, the young boy, who must receive surgery. Remember him in this week, in the day of tomorrow, that thou would keep from him from much suffering. And could it please thee to help in this way wherein thou leadest him and all those that have special needs? Wilt thou keep each one of us from a sudden and an unprepared death over dangerous ways often in the winter time? And wilt thou cause our hearts also to meditate upon thy word of truth, thy law, and thy gospel, and that there may be profit for our soul, even in this day, thy day, quickly going by already, and then we shall go into the week. Oh, that there may be profit, meditation thereon, and that there may be a little chewing of the cud, and that there may be something that was to thy honor and to thy glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 113, 1 through 4. How blessed the man who thoughtfully the poor and weak befriends, deliverance in the evil day to him Jehovah sends. 1 through 4 of Psalter 113. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Bless.